from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
In just a matter of moments, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson will be sworn in as the first black woman on the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll bring you that historic event live right here on WRAL.
Plus, a new interstate will open in the Triangle. How it will save drivers a lot of time and frustration.
And speaking of frustrated drivers, today is expected to be the busiest travel day of this 4th of July weekend. We'll tell you the best times to hit the roads to avoid severe backups. And picturing the Supreme Court right now, where the oath will take place for the first black woman to enter into her role. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Great to have you with us. Ketanji Brown Jackson swearing in comes on the heels of the Supreme Court's controversial Roe v. Wade decision, as well as two other Supreme Court rulings today. On the day after the Senate confirmation vote, Judge Jackson says it has taken 232 years and 115 prior appointments, but we've made it, all of us. WRAL's Ken Smith is waiting for that moment and watching it all unfold in the WRAL Live Center. Ken.
Jeff and Renee, in just a few minutes, we will be able to refer to Ketanji Brown Jackson as U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. She was nominated by President Biden back in February. She went through a grueling and sometimes contentious U.S. Senate confirmation hearings. She was confirmed in April, though. She becomes the first black woman to serve on the high court. She will also join the high court at a time when four women will be serving on the high court for the first time at the same time. Now, before becoming a U.S. Supreme Court Justice, Judge Jackson served on the appellate court in Washington, D.C. Before that, she was a federal district court judge. She held a number of judicial appointments. She also practiced law herself. Of course, Judge Jackson replaces the retiring Justice Stephen Breyer, who stepped down from the bench today. The Supreme Court has been busy the last several days. Every Wednesday for the last several weeks, we've been waiting on a number of rulings. And today they've sent down their last two rulings, two major rulings, one on immigration and one on the environment. We'll continue to monitor this swearing-in ceremony and, of course, bring it to you live right here on WRAL. Renee?
All right, Ken, thank you so much. Let's take a look at stocks now. That's another big story. The stock market on track for its worst first 6 months of the year in 50 years. And today is not helping. The Dow is down 223 points. S&P 500 down 22 points. The S&P 500 has fallen nearly 20% over the past 6 months. NASDAQ also in the red, dropping 88 points at this hour.
An interstate highway project that promised to cut commute times for Durham drivers is finally delivering on the promise. The East End Connector is officially opening for drivers this afternoon. This has been more than 10 years in the making. The ceremonial ribbon cutting happened within the past 2 hours, and WRAL's Monica Casey was there. Monica, a big deal for this area.
And the ribbon cutting happened on the road itself, where drivers will be in just a couple of hours. Leaders say it's going to ease congestion downtown and could trim down drive times by about 10 minutes for some. The East End Connector will be known as I-885. It connects US 70 to the Durham Freeway. One important thing to note, the construction has changed the exit numbers on the Durham Freeway. Durham County Commissioner Brenda Howerton points out this highway will also make it a lot easier to get around the triangle as a whole. It will give drivers a new way to get from 40 to 85, bypassing downtown Durham entirely.
The potential economic benefit for providing a beltway to help our residents travel from one side of town to the other is going to be so incredibly great.
State lawmakers were also at this morning's ribbon cutting. They pointed out the growth in Durham and the state as a whole as a major driver behind the need for this highway. Now, the East End Connector here is scheduled to open around 2 this afternoon. That's just in time for the evening commute and the holiday weekend. Jeff?
So true. You won't be able to stand right where you're standing right now. It'll be busy a little bit later. Monica Casey reporting live right on that new highway.
Heat and humidity will be the weather story today through the holiday weekend. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the heat index for the holiday.
That's going to be our big story, along with the potential for some afternoon thunderstorms. But look at this. This is going to be a very popular place over the weekend. Lake Gaston or any lake is going to be where you want to be because our temperatures are going up and so is the humidity. So that heat index is going to be a big player through the weekend. We take a look at what's happening out there right now. We have a big area of high pressure, but it is sliding eastward. And as that high slides eastward, it switches our wind direction. When that high is back to our west, we're seeing a nice comfortable flow coming out of the north. Remember just a couple of days ago, I think it was Tuesday, it was just a glorious day. Well, as the high slides eastward, that rotation then picks up the moisture and the warmth from down south, and we get a very tropical flow coming in. So that's what we'll end up seeing. Not likely to see a lot of fronts or anything like that coming through over the weekend. It's just going to be hot and sticky. That afternoon sunshine will help to pop up scattered thunderstorms. Our travel forecast for this afternoon, though, looks pretty dry. That high pressure system is still close enough to us to keep us dry. 90 at 3 o'clock, 90 at 5 o'clock, and about 87 at 7. So it's going to be a warm and sticky afternoon for us. Taking a look at thunderstorms, we'll see a few tomorrow and then again on Saturday. Here we start Saturday morning. You can see a few isolated showers. There's lunchtime. Moving it on into the afternoon, you can see a few of those, especially back into the mountains. And then just a repeat of that on Sunday and again on Monday. So no real change. Just going to see these isolated showers and thunderstorms that pop up. It should be enough to be able to plan around those because they won't be an all-day event. So for tomorrow, looking at a high of 90, 89 Saturday, 91 Sunday, 92 for the 4th of July. And the heat index is going to be close to triple digits a few of these days. We'll take a look at that specific heat index forecast coming up in just a few minutes.
If you plan to drive to your holiday weekend destination, you'll have plenty of company out there on the roads. AAA says it'll be the busiest one for people planning to take a road trip for the July 4th holiday weekend. WRAL's Michelle McConaughey has what we all need to know.
If you're traveling by car for the 4th of July weekend and you haven't left yet, you might want to wait to do so. Experts say anytime after 8 p.m. tonight would be a good time to leave. AAA predicts 48 million people in total will be traveling for the holiday weekend, and about 42 million of those travelers will be traveling by car. That's despite those high gas prices that we've been seeing lately. And there are a number of ways that you can save if you...
freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you very much. And now I'll turn things over to Justice Breyer.
Good. The judicial oath. Will you raise your right hand, please? Thank you. I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will administer justice.
That I will administer justice.
Without respect to persons.
Without respect to persons.
And do equal right.
And do equal right.
To the poor and to the rich.
To the poor and to the rich.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge and perform.
Discharge and perform.
All the duties.
All the duties.
Incumbent upon me.
Incumbent upon me.
As an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
As an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
And now, on behalf of all of the members of the court, I am pleased to welcome Justice Jackson to the court and to our common calling.
And there you have it. You can now call her Associate Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. You just saw her take the oath from Chief Justice John Roberts, also the judicial oath from Justice Stephen Breyer, who is stepping down from the bench today. Of course, Ketanji Brown Jackson clerked for Justice Breyer very early on in her judicial career. She becomes the first black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. Behind me, this is NBC turning around that what just happened at the U.S. Supreme Court today. It's a very historic day at the U.S. Supreme Court. She will become, she'll join three other female justices, becoming four women serving on the High Court at the same time, and that has never happened in the history of the High Court. Again, Justice Jackson was nominated by President Biden back in February. She was confirmed in April. She brings to the court a long history of judicial experience. Before being nominated by President Biden back in February, she was also on the appellate court in the Washington, D.C. district. And before that, she served as a federal district court judge and held many jurist positions throughout her career. She's 51 years old. She's married. She has a couple of daughters. As you saw there during the swearing-in ceremony, her husband was holding the Bible as Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Breyer gave her the oaths of office. But again, you can now call her Associate Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Renee, Jeff.
All right, Ken, thanks for that. Still more to come next at noon. Allegations of bullying in Buckingham Palace have been addressed in a study. The findings about accusations by the Duchess of Sussex that will not be released to the public.
Also, another arrest in the case of migrant deaths in San Antonio. How a fourth person was caught and is now facing charges.
Plus, President Biden lashes out at the Supreme Court. The slam on the decision to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Another addition to a major new development in Cary. WRA's Brian Schrader has a look at the luxury movie experience opening this weekend. Brian.
Renee, we're talking about that Fenton development across from the old Cary Town Center Mall. The mixed-use project had its grand opening earlier this month, and now the anchor tenant is getting ready to open its doors. Paragon Theaters is opening its second Cary location tomorrow. This is a luxury movie theater, including a theater with a 66-foot screen, Dolby immersive sound, and pod-style seating, as you can see there. You can order food from a full menu. There's a bar on site. It is a unique experience. Paragon was supposed to open in April, but labor shortages delayed that. Again, it's opening officially tomorrow. For a limited time, Paragon is selling $6 tickets. You can read more about the theater and the latest on plans for a grocery store at the Fenton development in our story on WRAL.com and the WRAL News app, Renee.
Did you see how far back those seats reclined? Wow, that is luxurious. I hope I wouldn't fall asleep. Brian, thanks. A Raleigh commercial real estate developer has formally begun the process of rezoning parts of downtown Raleigh. Wilson Blunt wants to build a 20-story downtown mixed-use structure on the corner of Hillsborough Street and Boylan Avenue. That includes the original Char Grill and the historic Elmwood property. Char Grill will continue to serve customers until construction begins. The developers say this new development will include Char Grill.
And we have an important reminder for voters in Wake County. Tomorrow is your last chance to register to vote in the July 26th runoff elections. Those runoffs will be held for several elections, including Wake County Sheriff, two Cary Town Council seats. You can register online or at your local Board of Elections office.
New Zealand's government designates two U.S. groups as terror organizations. This morning, the Prime Minister announced that the far-right extremist groups, the Proud Boys and the Base, were, quote, a significant threat. Authorities in New Zealand have reportedly become more sensitive to threats from the far right after a white supremacist shot and killed 51 Muslim worshippers at two Christchurch mosques in 2019. The investigation into alleged bullying at Buckingham Palace by the Duchess of Sussex is complete, but the Crown will not release the findings. Buckingham Palace confirmed that lessons have been learned, but didn't explain what those lessons are. Last year, the palace launched an investigation after two of her employees claimed they had been driven from their jobs and that a third had been undermined. Lawyers for Meghan denied the reports, calling it a calculated smear campaign.
July 4th is just a few days away, and WRAL is your resource for planning your holiday weekend activities. We have several fireworks shows and other celebrations planned in central North Carolina right here, and many of them take place this Sunday. We have a full list to help you prepare for your 4th of July holiday right now on WRAL's Out and About page. You can also find it on our WRAL.com page and on our news app as well.
We had a foggy start to our Thursday, but since then, clouds have cleared and there's a lot of sunshine in places. Looking a little more cloudy here at the DBAP and at the American Tobacco Campus as we look live in Durham. But Southern Pines and here in Raleigh, we're looking lovely, Elizabeth.
It does look nice out there. Now, it is warm and sticky, but, you know, it's almost July, so that we should expect that. It's not stopping anybody from having a nice time out there at Longleaf Golf and Family Club. You see a few folks out there on the greens, and you can see a few clouds in the sky. Those big puffy cumulus clouds in Southern Pines and some of our southern counties could end up producing an isolated shower or thunderstorm, but most of us will end up staying dry today. We'll see an increase in that chance as we head through the holiday weekend. We'll take another look at which days look the wettest coming up. It's 86 right now with a dew point of 70. When that dew point gets to around 70, it does feel oppressively muggy. We'll climb into the low 90s mid-afternoon, and then once we get closer to dinner time, we're back into the upper 80s. But we're not getting rid of the humidity this time. You know, we've had so many nice days just sort of here and there through the month of June where we got a break from the humidity. It's less likely as we get into the month of July. It's more likely that our dew points will be in the 70s. In Clinton right now, the dew point is 74. The dew point's in that white box on the right, 70 in Durham and Raleigh. It is still 68 in Goldsboro and 66 in South Hill, but 70 there in Southern Pines where folks are enjoying a little round of golf. Our high temperature this afternoon likely to be in the upper 80s to low 90s, around 90 in the Triangle, 88 Fayetteville, 90 degrees in Rocky Mount. We take a look at how that's going to feel as we check out our muggy meter. Definitely steamy today and tomorrow, and then we're just right into the tropical zone for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's when it's going to feel the stickiest, and we'll be watching out for some of these numbers. It's going to feel like low to mid-90s today and tomorrow, but then 98 Saturday. But right now, looking at potentially 102 on Sunday and Monday. Now, if it starts to feel like closer to 105, most likely the National Weather Service will put us under a heat advisory. 105 is the criteria for heat advisory. So we'll be watching out for that. It may be that we're just under it. But you know, if you're planning to head to the pool or the lake, you know, that's really going to be, you know, best place to be. This high pressure system slides on out of here and starts to bring more moisture and warmth into the area over the next few days. And with that sunshine that we'll see each afternoon, we'll see a chance of a shower or thunderstorm. It's really minimal today. That's about 5 o'clock this afternoon. Just a few counties in the south could see a quick little pop-up shower or a quick storm. Tomorrow morning, we'll likely start off with some cloud cover, maybe even some foggy conditions like we saw this morning. The conditions would be right for that. Partly cloudy at lunchtime. And then in the afternoon, there's 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon and evening. Some scattered thunderstorms. Once we get past sunset, those will fizzle out, and we will put that on repeat all the way through the weekend. It's unfortunate that we haven't seen enough rain lately. For the first time in the last 6 months at least or more, the entire viewing area is either somewhere between abnormally dry and severely in drought. So that is unfortunate to see, definitely. We do have that chance of some afternoon and evening thunderstorms each day through the weekend, but those typically don't bring us a whole lot of rain. Continuing to watch the tropics, a couple of places that I want to show you are going to be impacted with tropical storms or systems coming up.
And here in the WRAL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of Durham. A bomb threat reported at Durham Tech. This is the alert notification that the school just posted just after 11 o'clock, about an hour ago from here, letting people know that a bomb threat has been received. Now, I want to give you an idea of where we're talking about. This is a map of that campus, buildings 4, 6, and 10. The Wynn Building, all according to police, have been evacuated. Right now, the entire campus is in a shelter-in-place posture. Durham police officers are going through this campus right now to determine the credibility of that bomb threat. We will continue to monitor this situation and bring you any new developments here in the WRAL Live Center.
We certainly will. Ken, thanks. A gas station promotion didn't work out as planned for one woman. At 5:30, what Five on Your Side did to make sure drivers are getting that discount.
Plus, WRAL Investigates examines conviction rates in Durham. What's letting violent offenders back out on the streets? That's at 6. Imagine drinking coffee made without coffee beans. It is the basis for a new startup, and you won't believe how much money they've secured to follow their business model.
Plus, researchers a half a world away believe they may have found the key to a new treatment for eating disorders. How an enzyme in the brain could lead to new treatments. Delta is giving flyers flexibility this July 4th weekend, and Taco Bell is teaming up with Cheez-Its for a new menu item. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Delta will let flyers change their tickets for free this July 4th weekend. The airline's gearing up for what could be the busiest travel period since before the pandemic. Delta travelers book for flights between tomorrow and July 4th can rebook with no fee and at the same ticket price, but you'll need to keep the same origin and destination and take the new trip by next Friday, July 8th. Delta is making the offer to customers as it expects what it calls operational challenges this holiday weekend. Snapchat is rolling out a subscription plan as it looks for new ways to generate revenue called Snapchat Plus. It will cost $3.99 a month. Users will get access to what the company calls exclusive and experimental features. Now, one could be an indicator showing how many friends are interested in posted stories. The subscription model comes after parent company Snap last month said its revenue and profit would be lower than expected this quarter. Taco Bell is testing two new items that feature a giant Cheez-It cracker. The big Cheez-It tostada tops the snack food with beef, sour cream, cheese, and other toppings. The big Cheez-It Crunchwrap Supreme features the same toppings, but in a tortilla that's grilled. Taco Bell has partnered with other snack foods in the past. It launched Nacho Cheese Doritos Locos Tacos 10 years ago. The big Cheez-It items are being tested in Southern California. No word yet on if they'll be rolled out elsewhere. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber on the Money Desk.
The FDA is issuing a warning about a neck float that could harm your babies. The agency is telling parents and caregivers not to use these neck floats marketed for babies. The floats can increase risk of neck strain as well as other injuries. The agency warns that babies with developmental delays or special needs could be especially affected by these injuries.
One airline wants to elevate your flying experience. Air New Zealand is testing out its SkyNest concept that will include six full-length sleeping pods, which allow passengers to stretch out and take naps on actual beds. The sleeping pods will be part of the new Boeing 787 Dreamliner and start in 2024. The amenity will be available on ultra long haul 17-hour flights. A new company is giving customers a different twist on coffee. Vitamo Coffee makes coffee without beans. Instead, they use upcycled dates and other ingredients. The company says they've secured $40 million in funding from three agricultural technology firms. Vitamo Coffee claims that their coffee-less coffee has fewer environmental effects, producing 93% less carbon emissions, 94% less use of water.
And here in the WRA Live Center, we continue to follow the breaking news coming out of Durham Tech. This is a live look courtesy of Sky 5 just arriving on the scene. You see the heavy police and firefighter presence there on that campus. A bomb threat was called in about an hour ago. Here's what we know according to an alert notification that the school posted a short time ago. Three buildings are impacted by this bomb threat. Buildings 4, 6, building 10, the Wynn building. All those buildings have been evacuated. Sky 5 just pulled out a little while ago, and we saw a number of Durham Tech employees standing on the side of the sidewalk and in the parking lot as well, as Sky 5 pulls back to give you a larger view of this campus here. Many of the people who have been evacuated are now in this area right here of the parking lot for safekeeping. Right now, Durham Tech is in a shelter-in-place mode. You were seeing two shots right now. The shot on the left, that's a ground shot of what you're seeing happening at Durham Tech right now. And, of course, on the right, that's Sky 5 over the scene, and you can see many of the people right there, many of the workers at Durham Tech have been evacuated, told to get as far away from the building as possible. Durham police, firefighters, they're on the scene going through this campus to determine the credibility of that bomb threat. Again, it came in just after 11 o'clock. The school sent out a notification almost immediately. We've got students and workers out of those two buildings. If you're just joining us, that's what you're looking at. These are live pictures coming in, both from the ground on the left and from Sky 5 on the right, of a bomb threat that was called into Durham Tech about 11 o'clock this morning. We know, according to the alert notifications from Durham Tech, that three buildings are involved. Those are buildings 4, 6, and what's called the Wind Building, Building 10. All those buildings have been evacuated. We'll continue to monitor this situation for any new developments here in the W Area Live Center. But when we come back in our next half hour, we'll go back to the nation's capital for the historic swearing in of now Associate Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson.
We begin this half hour with breaking news. Durham police are investigating a reported bomb threat at Durham Technical Community College.
And WRL Sarah Kruger has reached that scene now and able to put some eyes on what's happening there. Sarah, what can you tell us so far?
Jeff, all of the buildings on Durham Tech's main campus have now been evacuated due to this bomb threat. I'll step out of the way. You can see our vantage point. We are at the intersection of Lawson and Bacon Streets. You can see the entry to the campus is blocked. It is blocked on all sides. The road is closed. You can see a lot of police officers and firefighters at the scene. The first alert from the school went out at 11:07 this morning. It started out as a shelter in place due to this report. Reported bomb threat. Then it shifted from a shelter in place to instead telling everyone to immediately leave the campus, all employees and students. I did talk with a student just a few minutes ago who had finally walked out and made her way over to her mother. She said this was her first day on campus. She was here for orientation for a program that was set to begin in the fall. Of course, a very unnerving situation to be on campus when all of this is happening. This investigation still very much developing, very active scene. We will remain on top of it out here and will bring you any updates as we get them. But for now, a reported bomb threat has caused an evacuation on all of Durham Tech's main campus. Jeff and Renee.
And close the rest of the day. Thank you so much. WRL Durham reporter Sarah Kruger on the scene.
Another big story that we're covering, the swearing in of the Supreme Court's newest justice. Ken Smith is in the WRL Live Center with that. Ken.
You know, Jeff and Renee, it's been a historic day on a nation's capital. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, you can now refer to her as Associate Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. She was sworn into office at the top of the hour. She becomes the first black woman to serve on the high court. She joins three other women. For the first time, four women will be serving on the high court at the same time. Take a listen as retiring Justice Stephen Breyer administered the judicial oath.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will administer justice.
That I will administer justice.
Without respect to persons.
Without respect to persons.
And do equal right.
And do equal right.
To the poor and to the rich.
To the poor and to the rich.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge and perform.
Discharge and perform.
All the duties.
All the duties.
Incumbent upon me.
Incumbent upon me.
As an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
As an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Now, on behalf of all of the members of the court, I am pleased to welcome Justice Jackson to the court and to our common calling.
And there you have the welcoming from Chief Justice Roberts as well. Now, before ascending to the nation's high court, Justice Jackson served on the appellate court in the Washington, D.C. Circuit, and before that, she was a federal district court judge. Justice Jackson replaces the retiring Justice Stephen Breyer, whom she clerked for early on in her judicial career. Jeff, Renee.
Ken, thanks. And prior to Justice Jackson swearing in, the Supreme Court announced two remaining opinions before going on recess for the summer.
Yeah, the two cases they ruled on today focused on immigration and the environment. Mike Manuel reports from Washington.
The Supreme Court siding with President Biden and his immigration policies. In a 5-4 ruling Thursday, the court sided with his administration in its pursuit of ending the Remain in Mexico policy, which mandates asylum seekers arriving at the southern border to wait in Mexico until their cases are heard.
This is devastating for the state of Texas and the United States of America.
Late last year, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas issued a memo to formally end the policy, arguing it had, quote, endemic flaws and unjustifiable human costs. But an appeals court ruled against the administration.
The Biden administration eked out a victory here. It's not too surprising with the lineup. This is a classic Roberts decision. It's accommodating. It's narrow. And he brought along Justice Kavanaugh here.
The court had ruled against the administration on a number of consequential decisions this term. And today in Spain, President Biden criticized the high court for last week's abortion decision.
The one thing that has been destabilizing is the outrageous behavior of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Thursday also marked Justice Stephen Breyer's retirement after serving nearly 28 years on the Supreme Court bench. His successor, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, the first black woman ever to serve on the high court, will be sworn in right away.
And that was Mike Emanuel reporting. The court also issued a ruling undercutting the EPA's ability to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. And starting at 4 today, WRL's new climate reporter, Liz McLaughlin, will break down what that ruling could mean for North Carolina.
Get back to President Biden's statements on the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. Just before leaving the 3-day NATO summit in Madrid, Spain, he called the ruling a mistake.
The one thing that has been destabilizing is the outrageous behavior of the Supreme Court of the United States in overruling not only Roe v. Wade, but essentially challenging the right to privacy. We've been a leader in the world in terms of personal rights and privacy rights, and it is a mistake, in my view, for the Supreme Court to do what it did.
The alliance cleared the path for Sweden and Finland to become new members after overcoming Turkey's misgivings. It is a symbol of pride and equality. Coming up, how this flag came to be and the challenges and triumphs of waving it.
Plus, job application videos that seem off. Why the FBI is warning tech companies to beware of fake applicants. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app. And we'll bring you back to our breaking news that we've been covering for you out of Durham at Durham Tech. The main campus being evacuated due to a reported bomb threat. Durham police are there on the scene right now going through each sweep of the building. And the main campus will be closed for the rest of the day. We will continue to monitor the situation for you at Durham Tech Community College.
Nearly 200 specialists credited with all the grunt work critical to Tesla's artificial intelligence systems are now out of a job. The specialists were responsible for labeling common road objects like lane lines, stop signs, traffic cones, curbs, traffic signals. That data allowed the AI system to accurately perceive its environment. The more correctly labeled data on AI systems that they have, the better the system works. Tesla developed an automated data labeling system, which it says has accelerated its work on self-driving vehicles. The FBI says cyber criminals are using digitally altered videos to apply for remote jobs, often in the tech field. That's because those jobs can give a cyber criminal access to customers' financial information. The agency says an increasing number of companies complained that during on-camera interviews, the action and lip movement of the applicants didn't match.
Just because it's summertime doesn't mean learning has to end. Some ways to help kids unplug from devices and screens and enjoy a good book. First, it was Big Bird. Now Senator Ted Cruz is feuding with Elmo, the reason behind the lawmaker's squabble with a Muppet.
And we're following more breaking news here in the WRA Live Center. Hillsborough police reporting the shooting death of a 17-year-old male. With the help of Google Maps, we want to take you to where this happened last night around 9:30. This is 206 South Nash Street. This is at the Bellevue Mills Apartments. The police say it happened in the parking lot of that apartment complex. Police say the 17-year-old was found dead at the scene. At this point, police have not released the name of the 17-year-old victim. So far, no arrests, and the shooting, of course, remains under investigation.
Ken, thanks. If you're having trouble getting your children to put down the video games and pick up a book this summer, you might want to try a few suggestions from experts. First, look for books that your child will find appealing, such as action and adventure. Those are good choices for kids who like video games. Parents can also mix it up by encouraging their kids to write or draw their own stories and have them read aloud. My daughter and I right now are going through the Harry Potter series, and we're really enjoying that. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner now with a look at how our Thursday is shaping up. Cloudy in some parts, sunny in others.
Yeah, we're seeing a good bit of sunshine between some cloud cover out there. We'll call it partly cloudy in Goldsboro, Durham, Apex, and Chapel Hill. We may end up seeing an isolated shower in some of our southern counties, but the bulk of us will end up staying dry today, just hot and humid. Checking future cast again, you can see once we get to 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a couple of isolated showers could pop up in our southern counties. Most of us won't see this today. It remains dry. We took a quick look at the drought monitor just about half an hour ago, and the entire viewing area is either somewhere between abnormally dry and under severe drought right now, and that's the worst that it's been in months, unfortunately. Not much chance that we're going to change that in the next week or so just because of our weather pattern. We'll take a look at the tropics, and we're looking at some heavy rain across the coast of Texas and really all of the Gulf Coast due to the stationary front that's sitting here. And of course, you see this orange shaded area, this is where there's the potential for this particular system to come to have some tropical characteristics. It's only a 40% chance that it would become a tropical storm, so that looks unlikely, but it's definitely bringing a lot of heavy rain to Houston, and the computer models bring it onshore here in Texas, bringing some heavy rain to central and east Texas, and then it makes a right turn over toward the mid-Atlantic, and it's possible that by Wednesday, that's where we see here at the end of the loop, that it begins to bring us a little bit of moisture if we could use everything that we could get. This one's not coming anywhere close to us, but it is a little more likely to get a name. We keep watching this. Looks like it could become Tropical Storm Bonnie any minute. I really thought that the 11 o'clock advisory would show that, but still, no. It's just too close to land here, still having trouble getting organized. So it's moving west at 20 miles per hour. Has winds strong enough to be a tropical storm, but it doesn't have that closed circulation. It is headed down to the south and west. It's going to cross over Central America and then start up the coast of Mexico, likely becoming a hurricane at some point. Its name will be Darby once it crosses Central America. So while it's in the Atlantic basin, it'll have the name Bonnie, but as soon as it enters the Pacific, it gets the next name on the Pacific list, which is Darby. The names don't translate. Our tropical outlook continues with another system that's out there in the Atlantic. That one only has a 10% chance of developing. We take a look at our beaches. Of course, a lot of folks headed there today or tomorrow, maybe for the whole week. We have a moderate rip current danger from Wilmington up toward Atlantic Beach. That's going to cover Topsail Island as well as, say, Wrightsville Beach and Carolina Beach. And this changes daily. So if you're headed to the beach, just make sure you're checking that forecast for rip current dangers. The forecast for the weather looks pretty much the same from tomorrow all the way through Monday. Highs will be in the mid-80s, and we have a good chance of afternoon and evening storms. A lot of those tend to be just inland from the beaches, and sometimes you're okay. But around here, we'll see the same thing. High temperatures will be close to 90 degrees. It's going to feel like triple digits over the weekend. We may cool off with an isolated storm.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Researchers believe they could be on the verge of a new approach to treating eating disorders. The science behind binge eating right after the break.
And here's a look at last night's winning Powerball numbers.
At Sunshine Breaking Through, downtown Raleigh right now, a live look right down Fayetteville Street from our WRA Live Cam Network. It'll be a summer-like holiday weekend on the way, a string of 90s accompanied with it. Let's get started today.
I'd
pictures right now for the Colorado Avalanche. They live pictures of their victory parade. Of course, the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup last week, beating the Tampa Bay Lightning in six games. Right there you see on that truck, that fire truck right there, you see Lord Stanley's Cup, supposedly one of the toughest championships to earn in sports. The Colorado Avalanche last won the Stanley Cup back in 2001. Of course, before they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, they beat the New York Rangers, who beat our Carolina Hurricanes, but we're not going to dwell on that. We're just going to focus on the Colorado Avalanche today as they celebrate with their fans. We here in North Carolina remember when the Canes won the Stanley Cup back in 2006. We had a similar parade, and while we're enjoying Colorado's victory, we are looking forward to when we can have a parade like this very soon.
Oh, of course. And we can be happy for Colorado Avalanche. They deserved it. Texas Senator Ted Cruz is feuding with a Muppet again. Sesame Street shared a video on Twitter of Elmo and his dad talking about the decision to get Elmo vaccinated against COVID. Elmo's dad said he talked to a pediatrician so he could make the right choice. Cruz thanked the children's show for saying that parents are allowed to have questions, but then accused Elmo of aggressively encouraging children under five to get the COVID vaccine. Scientists say new research on the human brain could signal an end to binge eating. German researchers say they discovered a signal pathway in the brain that stimulates the need to eat. And they found that a particular enzyme plays a critical part in signaling that pathway. The research team believes an inhibitor for that enzyme could significantly reduce excessive eating after fasting and in those who are obese.
July 4th is right around the corner. You'll want to keep your furry friends calm. You know how upset they can get with all the noise and flashing lights. Here are a few suggestions from the Humane Society. Pets are more sensitive to noises and flashing lights than us, so it is better to keep them inside your home. You should also turn on the radio or TV to lessen that loud noise. And also make sure the information on your pet's ID tag is current in case your pet runs off and gets lost. Our pet of the day right now comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Biff is a 3-year-old neutered male cat. It was Snowshoe Mix right there. He was found as a stray. He sports a very handsome half stash because of his distinguished gentlemanliness. And he is incredibly sweet, easygoing, would probably fit in well with most families. Biff has FELV, which is a communicable disease among to other cats. He will just need to be the only cat in the home because of that. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
We want to get you updated on the big stories right now. We are following breaking news at Durham Tech, where police are investigating a bomb threat right now. You're looking at a live view of the campus, courtesy of Sky 5. We're told police are doing a sweep of each building on the main campus, which is on Lawson Street in Durham. The campus will be closed for the rest of the day. And right now, some streets are closed as Durham police investigate.
In the last hour, we watched history unfold as Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson was sworn in as U.S. Supreme Court Justice.
Now, on behalf of all of the members of the court, I am pleased to welcome Justice Jackson to the court and to our common calling.
Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, sworn in by Chief Justice John Roberts and now retired Justice Stephen Breyer, whom she will replace. Justice Jackson is the first black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, four women for the first time at the same time on the high court.
We'll continue to follow these developing headlines and more on WRL News when we return at 4.
Have a great day. You can get updates anytime, WRL.com.